listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Well, hello, Paul Andrews. In actual fact, you guffawed at me when I came in the studio this morning. You guffawed.
I'll tell you what. Have you ever seen the ad for Fisherman's Friend? She looked like that. She had a sou'wester on and a big plastic Mac.
Came from
Whitstable in the rain on a trawler.
In fact, I aquaplaned most of the way home.
I thought you came on your trawler. Did you catch some sprats on the way here?
Oh, I need sprats for Darcy Dog. Because she loves a sprat in the evening.
Do you like a Fisherman's Friend?
They're very hot, though, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
I mean, you start off thinking they're okay and then suddenly go...
I haven't seen them for ages, but I still love a Fisherman's Friend.
Yeah, I do. Well, it's probably the way you walk. But I went to my local cafe yesterday talking about hot things and walked the dog, and then I fancied they do liver and onions and bacon and mash. And gravy.
You're always eating, you
are. I know.
I can't understand why you're not 10 times bigger than you are.
I'm Tessie.
Yeah.
But
I saw your breakfast this morning.
I know, it's delicious.
Sweet potato slices.
Yeah. Oh, you want to see what I do with
them? Two fried eggs, mushrooms,
bacon. Counting.
Yeah.
What I do with the sweet potato, though, I often save it for the end, and then I have a little bit of pip and nut on it with marmalade.
A bit of what?
Pip and nut. Almond butter.
All right.
It's a brand.
This sweet potato, do you cook the sweet potato, then slice it and toast it? Or what do you do with it?
I slice it very thinly.
Yeah.
And I used to put it in the toaster. But raw.
Hold on. You slice it
raw.
No, you slice it raw.
You want me to raw? Raw!
Oh, for goodness sake. You can't get any sense
you said
out of
raw. Raw! No, I cut it very thinly first, raw.
But thank you.
Yeah.
Raw!
You can't help it, you see. If someone says raw, so I cut it very thinly. I guess some people would steam it first or something. I don't know, parboil it. But anyway, I don't. So I cut it extremely thinly. And I used to put it in the toaster. But if it's too thin, then you have to get two knives and sort of oik it out. And then new husband goes, George, you've got to get electrocuted. Turn off the toaster. You've done that before, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or you shake it and stuff. But now, of course, I'm doing it in my air fryer.
All right.
Air fryers are all the rage.
Yeah.
But let me point out, I was first.
Yeah.
So in the air fryer, pop it on, like it nice and crisp, so you can pretend it's toast. And then I smother it with pip and nut peanut butter or almond butter, and then a spot of marmalade on the top, marmalade puts me together. It fixes me. It fixes any mood.
We did this the other day. Do you have thick cut marmalade?
Yes. Well, I sent you a little picture, didn't
I? You did, because you didn't know, did you?
No, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But I sent you a little picture, and it was definitely thick cut.
It was thick cut marmalade. Yeah.
It was delicious.
But you have that on peanut butter.
Yeah. Well, it's like Americans, isn't it, with their jelly and jam, and what is it they have?
Yeah.
Peanut butter and jelly.
You're going to be like Elvis.
Yeah.
You're going to die on the toilet.
Only without the money.
Yeah.
And the rhinestone.
Or the kudos.
He came to my wedding, you know, Elvis, didn't he?
Yeah.
He came out the kitchen. It was, of course, an impersonator. But the new husband and I chose the first dance, which was Can't Help Falling in Love.
Yeah.
And we had, obviously, a sound system. We're in this little fish restaurant, which doesn't exist anymore in Herne Bay. And my son Shay and I had cooked up that Elvis would come out during this song, the first dance. And new husband knew nothing about it. So we're doing our first dance, all romantic. Yeah. Everybody's watching. And I suddenly step back, put my hands on my hips, look Gavin in the eye and go, I'm sorry, this isn't working for me. And his little face, he was very upset. And then suddenly Elvis came out the kitchen and started singing the song. It was very good. So that's Neil. I forget his surname, Neil, someone. Very good. Great impersonator. Just gone to Turkey to have his teeth done, actually, I noticed.
As
you do.
Yeah.
Thought it was a shortage.
Elvis teeth.
Elvis teeth. I was going to ask you a sensible thing. Do we have a sponsor, first of all?
No.
Okay, so if anybody would like to sponsor the Business Bunker in January, February, do get in touch. You can.
Or any time at all the moment.
Or this week.
Yeah.
Times are hard. Mm. Biscuits are on rations. But I was going to ask you, I was listening as I drove in to the Jeremy Wine, who was promoting his show.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the population has now reached 8 billion.
Of London?
Yeah. Bethnal Green.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, I'm not a grand, you know, none of my kids have had kids have had children yet, because they're all working and paying rent and student loans and that. So anyway, population is massive. But there are still lots and lots of job vacancies, aren't there?
Yes, there are. I mean,
you can answer me on two of those questions.
Well, the population of the UK is now over 70 million. The world population is 8 billion.
Yeah.
The data is quite specific about this. As countries and people become more wealthy, they produce less children.
Because they're all working to get wealthy, perhaps.
No, it's just that It's a historical thing that as you become wealthier and healthier, your children survive better, whereas people in first world countries have lots of children because a lot of them don't survive to adulthood.
Yeah.
So it's just a well-defined piece of data that as you become healthier and wealthier, you produce less children.
Very interesting to know. And if any of my children are listening, hurry up, because I want grandchildren. I can still run around. Anyway, back to my liver and onions. Yeah. So local calf, Sea View calf. So we go for a long walk. Then I slope in for a little liver and onions. Mashed potato with proper butter and that thick onion gravy.
Yeah.
And little slices of bacon. And they always give Darcy Dog a little tub of dog ice cream.
Right.
Which she now expects when she goes in. And then they had Sainsbury's mustard, and it was really, really hot. That's how I got onto the subject, because I know Tracy Ferguson wonders about
liver.
My subject. Yeah, on the side.
Mustard with liver?
Yeah, on the side. I have mustard with most things.
Are you a heathen or something?
Yeah, heathen.
Are you a heathen?
Well, what would you have with liver?
Well, I certainly wouldn't have mustard.
What would you have?
Well, I have onion gravy.
Yeah, I have that and mustard.
You don't have both.
I do. Oh, I
what's the matter with you and your condiments?
Yeah, no, I would. I would have that. I'd even have chili jam with anything.
You're
but
weird.
It was extremely hot.
You're
mustard.
A weirdo.
I know. Just step out of the square, Paul Andrews.
Can I butt in?
Yeah, you butt in.
This is Phil, the lovely drummer.
Here's some insider information.
On mustard?
And on hot stuff.
Oh, okay.
Dave Hill, renowned guitar player with
Slade.
He carries a small bottle of Tabasco in his pocket.
Does he?
So we'd go to an airport and he'll sat down having breakfast and he'll put Tabasco on his eggs.
Really?
As true as I'm sat here. Yeah.
Has he still got that haircut with the? His fringe got higher and higher, didn't it?
Yeah. He wears a hat all the time, Dave.
Does he?
I haven't seen him without his hat.
Like Boy George. Boy George. I haven't watched I'm a Celebrity, but Boy George always has a hat on, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, he had his head tattooed, didn't he, when he was in his weird face? And
did he?
He's tried to grow his hair, but of course now he's reaching an age where his hair isn't there so much anymore. He has to wear a hat to cover it up.
But
it's interesting what you were saying about Dave Hill and Tabasco sauce.
I love Dave Hill.
There's also a thing called Carolina
Reapers
chilies.
They are hot.
And I saw someone the other day boasting about it, but he didn't look well after he'd eaten them. I love hot food. She killed me with some Chinese chili she bought back from
street food
from a street vendor in Wuhan.
Yeah.
During lockdown, a friend of mine took a Carolina Reaper. On Facebook Live during lockdown for a bit of a laugh, and so I think someone either nearly did or did call an ambulance.
He went
quite gaga over
well,
it.
Well, it's like an anaphylactic shock, isn't it?
I won't go near them. I mean, I like a bit of spice, but you will like a bit of spice.
Yeah,
but no.
Yeah,
that's not fun in that.
I mean,
well, you went puce pink when you had it on air.
I love hot food, and I would. I'm not fanatical about it, but I wouldn't be amiss to having Tabasco on an egg.
That's lovely. I've tried it.
Yeah. Does Dave do it on everything, or is it just his eggs? as far as you know.
I refuse to answer that question on the grounds it might incriminate me.
Yeah.
I think just eggs, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's something I do now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's lovely.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I bet he pops a few drops in a Bloody Mary on occasion as well.
That's the rules, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But you know Nigella Lawson, she carries a little tube of mustard, Coleman's mustard, in her handbag, I believe.
Well, I do like mustard. Funnily enough, we had steak last night and my Coleman's mustard had almost run out. I was mortified.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. I need to go shopping.
Yeah, and Princess Anne always carries a kiwi fruit in her handbag, apparently.
I was lucky.
You don't have to answer.
I'm not going to. I was lucky.
You can ignore me.
Bob Mortimer carries a pork pie in his pocket.
Does he?
Yeah.
He calls it pocket meat.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Supposing it gets all squashed when
he just eats
down.
It, he's a bit hungry. Yeah. Bob, you know, Bob Mortimer was a rule to himself.
Yeah, but you see, I'd have to have Branston pickle with that.
It's just
that would get messy.
It's funny. No, see, this is where it all ties together.
Oh, I love Branston pickle.
We ran out of Branston pickle 3 weeks ago, and Tesco's in Tenterton have not had any Branston pickle. Amanda went shopping on Saturday, couldn't find any Branston. I had to pop back yesterday to get just a couple of bits. And while I was mooching around, I found one jar of Branston pickle on the very bottom shelf under the Paxo stuffing.
Wow.
So I purloined it.
So why is there a shortage of Branston pickle?
I don't know. Tesco's have been funny recently. They didn't have any Heinz tomato sauce for a long time. And their reasoning was Heinz were charging too much, so they stopped buying it.
Bonkers.
So what? Yeah. You know, your customers want Heinz ketchup or Branston pickle, then put it on the shelves. If we don't buy it, then don't buy any more.
Exactly. What I was going to say was, I don't know if you responded to my thing about Tesco, about my Tesco club card.
I didn't get involved, no.
Well, it's annoying me because 3 years, Phil, I've been using my wallet, my iPhone wallet, with my Tesco club card. And I checked in little Tesco that we've got in Tankerton. Will I get my points? She said yes. And then I've checked again and he said yes. So 3 years I've been doing it. And then I went to the big Tesco because I don't often go to supermarkets. And he said, no, you won't. You won't be getting your points.
Hold on. With a Tesco club card, it has no other function other than collecting the points.
Yes. And if it's in your Apple wallet, which I'm now showing you.
Right.
Okay. So
it doesn't work is what you're saying.
Yeah. You don't get your points by using that. And I've been using it for 3 years and not getting my points.
Yeah.
So the man in Tesco very kindly said that you have to download a Tesco separate wallet app.
Right.
And put your club card in that and use that.
I've just got a Tesco's app on my phone. Why do you need a wallet?
Well, that's what you said. I need a separate Tesco's app rather than in my Apple wallet.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my wallet, right?
Yeah. I just got a Tesco's app with a QR code on it.
So haven't you got this wallet thing?
No.
With all your cards in?
I've got a wallet with my credit cards in, but I don't have my Tesco card in it. I have an app for Tesco.
Well, that means you've got two separate wallets.
No. I haven't got a wallet for it. I've just got an app with a QR code. Look, it's really easy. Look.
This is great radio.
Yeah.
No, well, show me after the show because look.
Here you go. Look, here it is. Look.
Yeah, but that's all very well, Paul Andrews, but I've got four credit cards here. I've got my business ones. Yeah, I know I can get that for my Tesco, but what I'm saying, you're making me feel really petulant now.
Yeah.
I've got my business cards in
the
there as well.
The presenters are showing each other their Tesco's club cards.
Yes. We need
to. Those who haven't got the live
look,
feed.
Look, I've got my business Santander and Sabadell, my little Spanish one.
Yeah, you've got all your credit cards in your wallet. Why do you need to put your club card in your wallet?
Because I want them all in one place. I don't want to have to shuffle about
and find
them.
All in one place on your phone.
Yeah, but I'd have to go to a separate app for my Tesco one, wouldn't I?
But that's the only way it works. You can't.
Exactly. Now I know after 3 years.
Because they scan your QR code and there isn't a QR code in your wallet.
Whatever. It's annoying. Yeah. And they told me very kindly that it would work and it doesn't. Yeah. Anyway, I diverse. So can I also ask you, before we go on, about job vacancies? Because we're in a tricky time, aren't we, with money. And I heard that the council want to put our tax up again, council tax.
Kent County Council on the brink of going broke.
Bankrupt, yeah. If they stop mowing the lawn outside Tankerton Slopes when there's just bare ground, it might save some money.
Like every other public authority, if they stop wasting money, they'd have more money to spend.
Exactly. Where do you live, Phil?
Chatham.
Oh, right. Okay. So
he's Medway. He's not KCC.
Closer to London. You see a bit more money.
Yeah, but it's a different council. Medway Council are a unitary authority. They don't come under Kent County Council.
No.
Guess what? For some reason, I can't complain.
You can't complain or you can't.
No, it's lovely. Never had a problem with anything.
Oh, I have a problem with everything. It's like
unemployment. You wanted to know?
Yeah, I want to know how many vacancies you've got on jobs in Kent.
Well, we've got about 11,000. But
what kind of jobs?
Everything.
Well, come on, give me a clue.
Well, everything.
Drummers?
Everything.
Look, I've got all those.
Shortage of drummers.
Funnily enough, we did have a job for a drummer a couple of weeks ago at Ashford School, a drum teacher.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I know one in the studio could do it.
I know. I sent it to him. I sent Phil. I said, here's a job for you, mate.
He does a lovely little tiger feet dance as well.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Unemployment, 3.6%, still very low. Funny figures for the last quarter. Last month, unemployment went up, but over the quarter, it's down.
How bizarre.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just different months,
just
different things.
And who's doing the data?
Do you want to know what the strangest thing is?
I do.
22% of 16-year-old to 64-year-olds are economically inactive. 22%.
Just what does that mean? They're never going out shopping?
It means they don't do any work, but they don't claim benefits.
So they're just surviving on...
Who knows?
Savings.
It's 21.8.
Well, would that be, the old black market? Because, I mean, mentioning, my neighbour earns a fortune with Airbnb. Hope she's not listening. I'm sure she doesn't declare it.
It's 16 to 64-year-olds. Of course, a huge number of those will be students.
Yeah.
But students at work are normally included. So, obviously, they're not doing any work. And they're not claiming benefits.
If you were 21 again, and you had a great big student loan at over 6% that you were having to pay off, and you were working in the city, like they often do when they're graduates, and you were paying rent of $2,000 a month for a one-bedroom flat with a balcony, possibly.
Yeah, I did all of this, yeah.
Yeah.
Apart from the student loan bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the balcony.
I didn't. Yeah, I had a little garden.
I lived in Onslow Gardens, which was...
That's just swanky.
It was so swanky. My actual rent was more than I took home a month.
That's ridiculous. It was only to, pull birds, wasn't it?
It was. But, you see, this is the big mistake I made. My rent...
Pulling birds?
No, my rent then, this is back in the mid-70s, was £800 a month, right? Mm. Okay. And I only took
That's
home...
quite a lot for the 70s.
It was an awful lot. I only took home £700
That's
a
crazy.
Month. So I had a job in the evenings to pay to so that I could afford the rent.
So you
and
didn't have
eat.
Time for the women.
So I didn't have time to go out on the pool anyway. Yeah. But it was nice.
It's funny because I was working... I think I was working in Onslow Gardens. I was temping a dental nurse agency, and I'm sure it was... You know where Dino's restaurant was on the corner?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was the tube station, South Ken.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And so I was in that road at the back, I think it was. Wasn't that Onslow Gardens?
That would be Onslow Terrace, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I was working for a lovely, I think she was South African or New Zealand.
I never saw you.
She was very clipped.
I didn't bump into you.
Oh, I was in a little pale blue uniform with clogs.
I didn't bump
You'd
into you.
You'd have noticed
you.
Me. Yeah. Nice teeth and all that. What I was saying was, if you were 21 and all that and playing your rent and your student loan over 6%, would you buzz off to warmer climes?
Well, I didn't. I didn't have a student loan to pay because I didn't...
No, we didn't.
I didn't go to university anyway.
So, I left school at 14 and a half.
So did I. So...
look where we are now.
I worked for a company that sent me all over the place, so I worked all over the place anyway.
Because I'm sort of advising my kids, get out for 5 years somewhere warm.
Yeah.
Dubai or Qatar.
You've still got to pay your student loan.
Yeah, least if you're in Dubai, you're probably paying.
You're getting tax-free, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Jack, my oldest son lives in France and he still gets letters going, you haven't paid your student loan back. And he went, I haven't got a job.
Yeah, yeah, may we. I just think, with their heating bills and things, do you know that my youngest, Che and Mimi, have put in an offer for £365 for a mouse hole in Greenwich. In fact, it's not Greenwich, it's Deptford, but they call it Greenwich. Phil, you know what I mean. They put in an offer last Wednesday to a housing corporation that's got all this, they're investors, I suppose they are. They've got this little block of flats and they said they'll get back to them. They still haven't heard.
Yeah.
Isn't that awful? Nearly a week.
I have a problem with all of this. I have the same with Stu, with my youngest. I have a problem with all of this. You know, the younger generation keep getting bad-mouthing boomers and stuff. But the fact was, I'm a Londoner. I rented flats in London. When I first got married and wanted to buy a house, I could not afford anything in London. I had my first house I had to buy down in Kent because I just couldn't afford it. The trouble is with the youth of today is they all want to live in London and they won't consider doing anything else.
But that's where the jobs are.
Yeah. Well, my job was my job was in London as well.
And you commuted.
You had to commute. You had to buy somewhere out in the sticks, which you could afford, and then commute back in.
Well, my new husband's the same. I mean, he's always, when he was at Bloomberg, up at 5 in the morning at 9.
But, I do have a great deal of sympathy because I think the housing market is bonkers. Yeah. I think it's bonkers.
But so is the rental market now.
But you will never solve the London problem because it's London. It's the same with New York. It's the same with Paris. Yeah. It's the same with Berlin. It's the same with any capital city, is when there's a huge demand for a property, you could never satisfy it by, you know, how many houses would you have to build to bring the price down? It wouldn't matter.
No.
It wouldn't matter if you built a million houses.
There's no room.
Well, all you would do is attract a million more people into London.
And then the prices would go up again.
And then the prices go up again. It's just bonkers.
But it's as simple as some of these big corporations moving to Liverpool or Newcastle
that's
Scunthorpe.
That's
or
the whole thing.
Wales.
That's the whole thing. We're levelling up and all the other northern powerhouse nonsense that they've come up with has failed completely.
Yeah. Yeah,
they can't shift the locus of business from London to anywhere else in the UK. And the reason for that is they insist on keeping the seat of government there.
Yeah, yeah.
If they shifted all the departments, some of them are, you know. Yeah. Like,
they tried at Newcastle, didn't they?
Well, some there's, of them went there's to what used to be called the Prescription Pricing Authority in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And there's also the Department of something or other in Leeds.
Yeah, and BBC moved a bit up there, didn't
and
they?
And they moved to Salford.
Yeah.
But what you've got to do is move everything out completely.
Yeah, cool. Be bold, be brave. And didn't Boris say he was going to do that?
Yeah.
And it, but of course never did.
It was the levelling up, but they never do it because everybody moans and whinges.
Yeah.
But it's not just the public sector. You need to move things away from the locus of everything being London.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the reasons why it's so difficult is we don't have the transport infrastructure in the rest of the country. Mm. All of our major airports are in London.
Yeah, but we have rivers and things.
Yeah, no. But if you want multinational companies to move from London to Leeds or Wakefield or Blackpool or Truro or wherever, you need to get in and out of those places by not coming through. So what you don't want to do is come through Heathrow and then spend 7 hours driving down the A303 to get to your headquarters in Exeter.
And Lord forbid you get on the M25 with the just say no to oil. Mm. We've got the lovely Wayne Cunnington, who's my fellow.
Hello, Wayne.
Fellow vaccine damaged chum who's listening at home, and he says, "I love condiments." He's back to the mustard, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
He said it boosts.
I think that's a better story, actually.
He said it boosts all sorts of food. Mm. He says food can be boring without it. And then Phil, for you, he says, "I don't really know what this means." He says, "Actually, Boy George had plugs fitted, as he mentioned Wayne Rooney had." So I guess that's on the
hair transplant.
It's a hair transplant.
Oh, plugs.
That's hair transplant.
What is it? Plugs.
It's hair transplant. Yeah, they take tufts out the back of your neck.
Yeah.
Hopefully, and they put them on your head.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Plugs. I see what you... I thought I was thinking electrical things.
Yeah.
Every day's a school day.
Yeah.
I was thinking, wow.
That technology tends to work fairly well. It worked for Rooney, didn't it? It was also was... what's his name?
He was inspired by Wayne Rooney to get his hair done.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he still wears a hat.
Well, the Northern Ireland actor, James Nesbitt.
James Nesbitt.
He had it done as well, didn't he?
And the new husband is listening in, and he says, a message for you. He said, Darcy's excited about coming on next week.
Well, she's not coming. Yeah. That's the trouble, Gabby.
Because he's got to go to Reuters.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, take the dog to Reuters.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine. Yeah. You know, one day a week I have this. And why is every conference always on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
It's very odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems to be a popular day.
Well, Tuesday's the midweek day, isn't it? That isn't midweek.
Well, it's not hump day, is it?
No.
We've got quite a lot of tweets.
But you've spent
tunage.
We need to talk to Phil because Phil needs to go. And,
I know.
And I've got cheesy tunage, which is so cheesy, it's unbelievable.
Okay, I'm going to guess it.
Do you like cheese?
Hey, it's mud and it's tiger feet.
Of course it is.
I did not see that coming for a moment.
Because, of course, Phil is in mud.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. Yeah. He's very famous. Mm. Should we all do that little dance? Round. Bet Phil can do it.
Tiger feet, your tiger feet. All right.
There you go, Mud, Tiger Feet. And for those that don't know why we played that, young Phil here. Now, listen, I'm going to get into trouble here because, Phil, do you consider yourself a drummer or the percussionist?
I'm a drummer stroke percussionist because drums are a percussion instrument.
True.
But I treat them, in sort of rock and pop, they're treated as individual items.
Right.
Your drums are you sit down and play, drum kit, bass drum, rack toms, etc. Percussion is all stand-up, congas, timbales and stuff.
Xylophones,
glockenspiels.
Yeah.
I think technically a piano is a percussion instrument.
What about triangle?
Five triangles.
I love a triangle.
Yeah.
They've got all different shapes
all different
and
notes,
sizes.
Different notes.
Mm. Anyway, Phil is the drummer percussionist for Mud 2.
Yeah.
And that's
And you said about Tiger Feet, you know, you said, do I mind paying it? I said, not at all. I mean, if I'd have a pound for every time I played it.
Yeah.
Oh, I have. Budumptish.
Yeah. Cool. And it's Mud 2 because of course poor old Les passed away.
We kept the name going and the songs going.
Yeah.
So the band generally plays your festivals now, and abroad quite a bit.
Right.
It's Belgium, Holland.
Right.
They go bonkers over there, which is quite fun.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, the Dutch are known for going bonkers, actually.
Yeah. They like a good time.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They are such fun.
Good as gold.
Dutch.
Yeah, good as gold.
Yeah.
So you've got all your drapes and everything as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Anyway, Phil, you kind of haven't come to talk about that, although we have to talk about it.
You have to sleek it in there, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we do, so. Yeah, because it's our era as well.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up with glam rock and Mud and all those other lovely folks in the 70s doing kind of weird stuff. It was the anniversary of Brian Connolly's passing away from Brian Connolly from Sweet. Do you remember?
Yeah,
Sweet?
Yeah. Glam rock.
I did seven shows with Brian. I played drums with Brian seven shows.
Did you really? Yeah.
Yeah. I got the call with about 5 hours notice.
Right.
A friend of mine called me and he said, "Where are you?" I said, "In Nottingham."
Mm.
I got I thought you were there. Are you playing tonight? I said, "No."
Mm.
He said, "Did you fancy a gig with Brian?" When? He said, "Tonight, Nottingham." So we used the support band's drums because mine were on a tour truck somewhere.
Right.
And I went through the set with Brian Connolly in his hotel room on a bed with a couple of co-hangers.
Really?
Yeah.
As you do. And then probably made a change from what he normally has on his bed.
Was that a Sweet gig or was it?
Yeah, Sweet. Yeah, yeah, it was Brian. Yeah, with Brian. Yeah.
So for those young listeners, these are the days of loons, big hair, glam rock.
Mullets.
Great big, platform shoes, Oxford bags.
I used to have big, hair and no waist.
Yeah.
Now that's reversed
now. Yeah, exactly. I think we're all in that. We're all in that situation, Phil. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we had longer, we could talk a lot about this because you do lots of stuff. And you're still very active in the music business.
Yes, as very.
You're drumming with Mud 2, but you also drum with a number of tribute bands like T-Rex.
I've been given first call for T-Rex's at the moment. Due to their full-time drummer being off on long-term sick.
Who's the lead of T-Rex's?
It's Daniels with a Z. Mm.
And does he look like Mark Boland?
Oh, yes. He's the same height, same shoe size.
Wow.
It's quite spooky.
Wow.
Yeah.
Same hair.
And you could have a conversation with Daniels about Mark. He's so knowledgeable because they were friends. Mm. Well, not him, but we were down to do a show in September at the... where was it? It's in London. My head's gone. But...
it'll come to you.
Yeah, we'll do. But we had Mark Boland's producer was coming from the States to play on it.
Wow.
We had Holly Johnson on the bill to play.
Right.
Tor Wilcox was on it. There was a load. All going to do T-Rex songs. But that got pulled because Daniels had a retina become detached.
Oh, I remember you telling me.
His eye. We've had 4 months off because of that.
Right.
You can't, and we can't. I mean, if I was taken ill, they could have probably found another drummer.
Mm.
But you can't find a. You can't replace him. No,
absolutely.
It's his band, and he's phenomenal as well.
Yeah, and you also do Rocket Man, which is the.
I play percussion on Rocket Man. That's a touring show. Sadly, I don't do all of those. I do the ones where the stage is large enough to get me on as well, because I carry a lot of percussion equipment. Those of you who like Elton John, if you Google John Mahon, that's Mahon. That's Elton John's percussionist, and I based my percussion rig around John Mahon's, so it looks like his percussion rig.
Right.
Because that's what I'm like. I like things to be right.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And I was out with him this week, and I've forgotten where I was. I mean, I go to bed and I forget where I've been.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, in the old days, I used to know every town, every theatre, and now it's just a blur. It's a noise going from one town to another.
Yeah.
And I'm out this week with the Magic of Motown show.
Right.
Oh, I bet that's good. Where's that on?
And that's at the South End Cliffs.
Wow.
That's one of my favourite theatres in the country. Cliffs.
Yeah. Why do you like that theatre?
There's a nice restaurant there. I always get dressing room 5 because there's a fridge, comfy chair, and a shower that works. So dressing room 5 in Cliffs. I mean, it's not too far from home.
Right.
And then the day after that, I'm in Poole playing drums on Rocket Man. I'm in Poole in Dorset the day after on drums. So it's you know, from one day to the next, you're shooting around everywhere.
Mm.
But it's what I signed up to do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it's, I should get paid to travel and drive, you know, and sit around airport. So you play for nothing, really.
Yeah.
You get paid to travel.
All right. So you got your van, because, you know, the thing with the percussion and drums and all the rest of it is there's a lot of kit, isn't there?
There's a lot of kit. On some of the shows I'm doing, thankfully all that is carried around for me.
Right.
And I turn up and everything's set up for me, which is great.
Yeah.
On quite a few shows I self-drive, and that can be a long day, you know, but it's... It's what you do.
It is what it is.
It's what you do, and it's brilliant fun.
How did you get into drumming, Phil?
I could always play drums. From school, I could play drums, and I was playing in little club bands around the Medway towns. I was in retail. I left retail to join the army, but that's another story. Went on holiday. The army couldn't guarantee me the flying job. That I'd signed up for. They changed all the recruiting. This was 81, 82.
Flying job?
Fly helicopters, yeah.
Wow.
And a friend of mine phoned me up and he said, because I was then out of work because I'd left my job.
Mm.
And he said, what are you doing for the next month? Do you want to go to Switzerland with a country band? Yeah, right. And that was it.
Right, okay.
Stopped since.
And you haven't looked back?
No.
Absolutely. Like it. Right, let's move on, because you're here to tell us about something very specific that you're working on, which I'm really excited by, and I think it's really brilliant.
This is great fun. It's called Junk Jam.
Mm.
Now, to get the idea of the story, people are familiar with drum circles and group drumming. It is great. It helps with team building. Group drumming is good for your own personal wellness.
Mm.
It brings togetherness. It teaches all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
I mean, you've got the STEM learning side of things, which you could teach through drum circles. Plus, there's the drama side, and there's the music side.
Mm.
which is brilliant. Now, I've taken it one step further. I'm quite fond of where I live, and that goes from Chatham to Medway to Kent to England to Europe to the planet. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about the planet. And I've taken drum circles, I think, one step further in that we don't take drums into schools. We take rubbish into schools. We take buckets, we take barrels. I've got dustbins. I've got some of those 95-gallon dark blue barrels. Yep. We take five of those in, corrugated buckets, a radiator, step ladders, bicycle wheels. Mm. You know, it's just junk. And it's stuff that would ordinarily just get dumped by the roadside, go to landfill, or not disposed of properly. Mm. So we're taking all this stuff in that is recyclable and has been recycled or repurposed.
Right.
And so we're taking a recycling message in with a rhythm message.
Right.
So we're basically taking in, we're doing 30 to 90 children per session. And then not only are they having fun learning some rhythms together, because group drumming is a phenomenal feeling.
Mm. Yes. I did a thing you did with boomwhackers.
Yeah, that's plastic tubes.
Yeah, it was just brilliant fun. It was really brilliant fun.
Yeah, I've done 500 people in one go with boomwhackers.
Right.
And we can get six rhythms playing in 30
seconds.
So what
is boomwhackers?
Boomwhackers, they're a plastic tube. And they're about an inch in diameter, but they vary in length. And the longer they are, the lower the note. So it's like a glockenspiel, but people are holding these and they bang their notes together.
Yeah.
Wow.
And when you get 500, I mean, I've known events to be up to 5,000 strong.
Really? Yeah.
With boomwhackers.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I was an event that Phil did where he constructed an orchestra on the fly. He handed out different, well, they were different colours.
Different sizes, different colours. Yeah.
So each size was a different colour, and he handed them out, and he just went, right, dude, all the greens go duh, duh, and all the yellows go duh, duh, duh. And we all had a practice at it at one go, and then he went, right, all together now. And we ended up with this fantastic sound. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and you're right that the group collectiveness of that is really uplifting.
You see smiles on people's faces.
Mm. So uplifting.
But with the junk jam, we're giving them that message about the environment, about recycling, and our message gets stronger with according to age and key stages.
Yeah.
We're doing reception classes now up to year seven, so reception and year one stroke two. So long as they can remember that certain plastics and certain wrappers go in certain bins at home and in the school, to me that's a win.
Yeah.
And then as it goes up the scale, it gets onto the science. It gets to how long it takes certain plastics to degrade. Some are 500 years, 400 years, and how long they can float in the ocean for. Mm. I think it was the Blue Ocean programs on TV that first really flagged this a few years ago.
Yeah.
And things haven't looked back. And this is going down great, because it also, if any schools want to repeat the junk jam environment, it's free.
Yes.
It's just junk.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, we've purchased a load of recycled buckets and bins purely for the hygiene side of things.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all well and truly cleaned and thoroughly, but schools, I'd only have to clean their stuff once, leave it in the cupboard. Okay, we can do this today, and that would come. Yeah. And on our website, junkjam.co.uk, we're actually going to release videos on there of how you can make these instruments from plastic, and there'll also be downloadable PDFs as well, how you can make stuff from rubbish. You'll be surprised what you can make.
Yeah.
So are you working with the music teachers at the schools as well, Phil?
No, I just go in there with a class of 30. That's the smallest. I mean, the smallest group of 20 is okay, but 30 is a great number.
Yeah.
Because then it's easier to get three rhythms going when you've got three groups of 10 playing the same rhythm. The smaller the number of people in the total group, the smaller that number divides down, and it doesn't really work. I have done adult drum sessions to 10 people,
right,
and that was a struggle,
right?
Because you're trying to divide. So that's only two drums playing one of five rhythms,
right?
So I earn my money on those days.
Right.
On the other ones, when there's 30, 50 to 100 people, those are easier, but the collective result at the end is so much better. Yeah. To see the smile on people's faces when they hear an amazing rhythm going and they realise they're part of it.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
So, Phil, would you go into corporates and do this?
We do corporates. We do the drumming in corporates. Yes, we do that. We do corporates for the drumming, and we do the boomwhackers for corporates. The reason we don't take the junk jam into corporates yet, it's for the setup time.
Yeah.
Normally in corporates, it's really rapid.
Yeah, yeah. Because they've got to get back to their desk.
Yeah, and it's easier with either one kind of drums. And some percussion, or just the boomwhackers. Mm. I mean, we will get. I was at an event the other week in Glasgow that I was doing, and we got 250 boomwhackers in hands in 90 seconds.
Wow!
You can't do that with junk.
Yeah, sure.
So if we want to go in, Bosch, you can do it. Mm. With the boomwhackers, with the drums, yes, we can do that. With the junk, it's a bit more difficult. You have to be a bit more sneaky with how you lay it out. You need to lay it out in a way that you want it. With the boomwhackers, are colour-coded, so that's easy.
Right.
Drums are easy because you can get three sizes. But junk's junk.
Yeah.
You know, and you've only got one radiator, or you've got one step, or you've got 100 buckets.
How the hell do you play step ladders? I don't know.
With a pair of drumsticks.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I got the whole idea for... I was lucky enough to take part in the opening ceremony of the London Olympics.
Right, OK.
And if you look for that on YouTube, I've actually got a plastic bucket here.
Yeah.
This is your ordinary plastic bucket. Mm. If you look up the opening ceremony of the London Olympics, this is the rhythm you will hear. It's 1,000 drummers playing that.
Wow.
Or 1,000 buckets.
So powerful.
Bins. Mm. But what the mantra they're saying to themselves in their heads was, play your drums so your mum can see you on TV.
Right.
Play your drums so your mum can see you on TV. Play your drums. Yeah, and it's that simple. That's how you get non-players playing.
Right.
Which is exactly why I've got these soft toys.
Right.
I hold it up like it's telly.
I'm holding a
pink flamingo, and we've got an elephant.
You are on video. Yeah. So
there's my pink flamingo.
The listeners can see you, yeah.
So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to give Paul, if you grab that bucket there, Paul.
So you're wondering about the elephant and the pink flamingo, weren't we?
Yeah.
You've got your bucket there.
I have.
I don't know if you can put your phone down and... If I turn it upside down, you can play on the top with your beater.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got two... I can go into a... I've got a bag of soft toys.
Right.
And the ones that come out are the ones I think would be suitable for the age group.
Right, got it.
Sometimes I'll do corporates and the pink flamingo will come out because I think they're going to be a handful.
Right.
So the pink flamingo comes out. Now, that's just, the pink flamingo can be one of several rhythms. What we're going to do the pink flamingo for is this. Pink flamingo. So on your drum. There you go. That's three people playing pink flamingo together. Okay. Now, if you remember that, and if Jules, you can play elephant. Keep going. Don't stop. I want Paul to play pink flamingo. Pink flamingo. Pink. And then you've got two rhythms going already.
Right, that's cool, isn't it?
And you just need another 30 people now.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
So, I'd like this.
But you can build it up
to
have call and responses. Right. You can have gaps.
Right.
And the sayings can be anything. They can be, you know, get off the bus.
Right.
Do you know what's amazing, though? It's like a form of meditation because I immediately am focusing on that. And Paul will know that I'm a Gemini and I don't often focus on one thing. But that makes you focus. So for children,
that's exactly
amazing.
What it's all about. It's learning new skills. It's learning how to focus. And when things in sort of for reception and year ones, we might have two rhythms going. But we can get up to six or seven rhythms as you get up the age groups and then on into corporates. But also we'll have children come up and they'll hold the toys up.
Right.
They'll hold a toy up and the rhythm will change.
Right.
Then they'll hold another toy up and the rhythm will change.
Right.
Or they'll control the tempo, the volume, all kinds of stuff. So it develops a leadership type style as well, you know. And also it happens all the time. You ask a group of children and adults, because my demographic is everybody alive,
right?
Basically, if you ask at the start of a session volunteers, no hands will go up.
Sure.
I can more or less guarantee towards the end of a session, I haven't even got to ask for volunteers. I can just point at someone and they'll come up.
Right.
Instantly. Because when we're doing drum circles, we'll have a key drum in the middle and we'll get people coming up to play it. The hands don't stop going up.
Right.
And it's the same with the children. You ask for a volunteer, they're all a bit worried that you're going to make fun of them,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And I get that. We don't do that.
Yeah.
Even though some corporates do deserve it, we don't do that.
Yeah.
I sort of quietly grin under my breath and say, I don't believe you said that out loud. And the children, once the first ones have done it, and their school friends realise that this is going to be fun.
Mm.
You ask a volunteer, every single hand goes
up.
Yeah. And the difficulty I've got then, every men's room, because they're all wearing school uniform. I get them all bundled up. So I have to ask for some honesty.
Right.
And while I'm asking for volunteers, one thing I need to mention, and any schools that are interested, teachers are not allowed to watch. Teachers have to take part.
Right, okay.
If you're in the room, you're on the menu.
Right.
It's about inclusion.
Mm. Right.
It's not about, you know, we're adults, we're not taking part.
Mm.
It's, yes, you are, because it's the idea of a drum circle. Yes, it's a learning experience, but also it's an experience.
Yeah.
So in corporates, it's the my door's open all the time, which a lot of directors say, managers will say, oh, my door's always open.
Yeah.
We do a skit on these where one of the rhythms is Pink Flamingo with Long Legs, which is this. Same flamingo, but because it's for adults, we've extended it.
Right.
And we'll get them to play the word pink on the drum next to them.
Right, okay.
So if you can imagine a circle of 50 or 60 or even a double circle of 100, when they're playing the pink with their left hand, the whole circle's moving round,
right,
because everyone's leaning to the next drum. And that really tests the open door policy.
Right.
Because even though the people have had their drums for, 5 minutes? You'd be surprised. That has suddenly become their drum.
Yeah, you get off.
And
my
no
drum.
One's getting anywhere near my drum.
Yeah.
But when you've got you've got a management leader or a CEO, and you've got a junior playing his drum, that really breaks down those barriers.
Right.
More so for the junior, because they feel like they can speak to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've actually leaned across, they've invaded their space,
yep,
and they've played their drum. So it breaks down barriers.
Right.
Now, it covers so many things, both the drumming side and the junk side. And these, I've got some coffee tins here. Mm. I mean, since lockdown, I've got about 700 coffee tins that we're using. And they've just got rice in them.
Right, okay.
Use them as shakers.
Lovely.
Yeah, but you can put various pulses in them. You can put gravel in them.
Right.
If you want some really heavy metal ones, you put gravel in.
Right.
You know, or a pebble. Right. You know, for all
so what's with this elephant that's here then?
He was for that elephant rhythm.
Oh,
elephant.
I see.
Elephant.
Okay, the quiet.
And we don't normally talk about him.
Elephant in the room.
Yeah,
but
that's because it was an easy one to remember.
That's
what those two down today.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they'll be straight in.
Yeah.
Because sometimes some of the rhythms do take a bit of time,
right,
to go up.
Yeah.
We can do all sorts. We can tell stories.
Yeah.
I've got a beetle here, soft beetle, who I call Ringo.
As you would, yeah, yeah.
One of my little throwaway gags is, you know, there's my drummer's beetle called Ringo. Why is he called Ringo? Ask your grandparents to Google it.
Yeah.
But we do stories, and the children do sound effects. So on their buckets, they'll just rattle their fingers along,
right,
to imitate a beetle running along the ground.
Okay.
So you hold the beetle up, and they start making that sound. Or we've got a snake, which interferes that sort of sound,
right,
sound of a snake slithering along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've got a mouse that will ask them to scream.
Mm.
You know, they see a mouse, they have to scream, and it's you can get. I can get as deep as I want to,
right,
as silly as I want to.
Mm.
No two events are ever the same, because we go with the ability of the participants.
Yep. Okay.
You know, we've done there's an academy in Dartford for mentally handicapped children. The Stepping Stones, I think it's called.
Yeah.
I went there first. Went there, I cried.
Right.
I bawled my eyes out. I had to go and hide.
Right.
We were doing drums, and we had these young children in wheelchairs. They could barely hold anything. Some of them, their carers were holding the drums,
right.
And they were banging them. But the smiles on their faces, and I was thinking, and I'm worrying about my hair.
Yeah.
You know, and you see that what these kids are like. And so I've learnt lots about that.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that we used to have when the first time I went, we had various groups of ability, but now we don't. I've asked them to mix the ability up, because you need something to happen in the room.
Yeah.
If there's everyone with very little ability, not a lot happens. But you need the ones with more ability to encourage the ones with less ability.
Yeah.
And that works across works across the ages, from schools to corporates. In some corporates, you get the shy people who won't want to do so. They're a bit timid.
Yeah.
And then before the end, they're running around, because I get people running around. It just it goes bonkers. And they're really enjoying it. They're really endorsing the whole thing and having fun. Mm. So if the children can have fun, they could learn about music, learn about rhythm. They're having experience with drama, maths because we've got counting games, English because we've got spelling games.
And channeling their mind towards music.
Yeah, because when you're playing that rhythm, you don't worry about anything else apart from your rhythm. And one of the exercises come in, because you've got to concentrate on your rhythm when there's other ones going around you.
Yeah.
So there's that team playing thing again. You're not doing the same, you're doing the same piece of music, but playing different parts at different times. I might do a reception class and they've got it, and then we'll move on to four or five rhythms.
Right.
You know, or I might do a year seven that for some reason haven't got it, and we'll only do two or three rhythms.
Right.
It goes in accordance to the people in the room.
Right.
So long as they're having fun and I can get the most out of them I possibly can, then it's game on.
Right.
You know, and I want them to have some good fun.
It sounds fantastic. I can imagine. I mean, having done just the Boomwhackers, that was great fun. Mm. I can imagine this is just,
it gets very loud.
Yeah, I bet it does. But you know, it's just such a fantastic thing, Phil. And so I would urge anyone that's running a school or a college or anything like that, do get in touch with Phil. You will not regret it. It's a fantastic thing to spend a day doing, and you can get loads of kids involved, can't
you? Yeah, we do it. When we do a school, they're gender, nothing is set in stone.
Right.
You know, a school could phone and say, we want you to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
A general school day is we start about 9:15,
yeah.
Then we do 45-minute sessions.
Right.
30-minute sessions for year R and year one.
Right.
And then year twos up to year seven are 45-minute sessions, purely because they fit in with a school timetable.
Right, yeah.
So we'll do a class in, class out, class in, class out.
Right.
I mean, by the end of the day, I'm worn out.
Yeah. You must be.
But each class has had their go.
Yeah.
And we will always go from... We go up in ages. I prefer it for my own well-being.
Yeah.
We go up in ages from year R up to year seven. So during the course of the day, as I'm getting more tired and my patience is running out, the children are bringing in more ability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it went the other way, I might find that a bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
But I have done that before. I have turned it around because that's what the school wanted, and yeah, I had to work hard at it. But they had a really, really good time.
Mm.
Yeah, we just need access to the place. I can arrive as early as they want to, because at the one school I had to be there at 7:30 in the morning,
right.
Because children started arriving and the only access was on the playground.
Right.
So I had to drive my van into the playground, unload it, and move it.
Right.
Because I couldn't arrive there at 9 o'clock, which right. makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so we always work around each individual school.
Right. Phil, we could talk about this forever. Yeah. Sadly, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in a moment. Thank you so much for that.
You're more than
thank
welcome.
You for joining us. Just give us a shout out for your website again, so that anybody that wants to find out more or to book you can do that.
Yep. It's junkjam.co.uk. On Facebook, it's Facebook/ junkjamfb. That's Facebook, so junkjamfb. And on Twitter, it's @junkjam1.
Yep.
We're very contactable.
Absolutely. Do contact them. It's great fun. It's absolutely great fun. There's loads of learning to be done in it as well, and you won't regret it. For the moment, Phil, thank you so much for
that. You're more than welcome. Thank you for the time.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Jules, we've got 3 minutes before the newsroom, and we haven't read any tweets or emails yet. Have you got some tweets to read?
I'm just sending Phil's website, Junk Jam, to some corporate people that I know.
Right.
So on the Twitter, we have Sarah Marsh Collins, who's listening in from Devon, I believe, and she says she loves Tabasco, especially green Tabasco. And the one I carry with me in my handbag is at Frank's Red Hot UK. And she says, I put it on everything, pizza, eggs, cheese, chips. And she used the Bee Bunker hashtag.
Well done, Sarah.
Yeah. Hello to Neville Gaunt, who's listening in. That's at Neville Gaunt, G-A-U-N-T.
Tracy Ferguson says, another great lineup of Business Bunker guests today. Particularly looking forward to hearing more about Junk Jam. I'm meeting the fabulous Rowena Horton today in Headcorn, so I'll listen later in the car.
And I'm meeting the lovely Tracy tomorrow.
Yeah. Are you?
We're having a chat about stuff tomorrow, yes.
Ah, so you'll have to listen very quickly today then, Tracy. So
yeah, to know what's going on.
Yeah.
What's on in Kent? They say, hope it's not too late for a shout out. We've been nominated for the Innovation Award and the Creative Digital Award,
which
I believe at VanillaWeb is highly involved with. Filming today down at Chilston Park, who are one of our partners. Have a great show. And you can follow at Awards Kent to find out more. In fact, my new husband was looking at their app and he said it's very, very good. He said there's lots of gardens on because I like a garden.
I've got the app. Haven't you got the app?
Maybe not.
I've got the app.
Well, you can put that on along with my Tesco app after the show.
Yeah, I've got the app.
I do like a garden
to
wander around.
They're absolutely right. I'm comparing the awards dinner on the 8th of December.
You love a dinner, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Kim Stevens of Caring Kent says, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker show, please. Do you know someone that loves helping others, has a passion for the welfare of others, would make a great carer? Maybe caring is their calling. They're looking for carers. If you call Amy on Ashford 01233 619 530, she'll tell you all about working for Caring Kent.
And Tenterton Chamber listening in. They are on Tenterton Chamber 1 on the Twitter. And they say they'll be at the Wealden Times Midwinter Fair on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Make sure you stop by the stall that they have for some gift inspiration. And we will have the perfect stocking filler for the special gents in your life.
Ah, there you go. Best business events say a big thank you to Chilston Park of Handpicked Hotels for hosting the filming of the Kent Business Awards. Winners announced at our festive awards dinner on the 7th of December, they say. I thought it was the 8th. Well, I better check that.
You better get your diary right.
I better check that, hadn't I? I don't want to turn up on the wrong day. All welcome.
Exactly. I'm going through this.
Martin Reeves. I'm going to have to be. This is the last one. Martin Reeves of
and the Vandellas.
Buddy Collectors. I'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please. I will be in meetings this afternoon, so I'm going to listen on catch-up. He says it's wuzzing it down here in Medway.
Wuzzing it.
Wuzzing it.
So stay dry.
I don't know that word in school.
Yeah.
So I'll be aquaplaning home yet again.
Yeah. Right. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got two more guests to talk to, and we're going to let Phil get away because he's got to get away. So... bit of Pink Flamingo to end the half there.